He was here the day before yesterday and asked for you. He says his business is urgent. He is begging, almost with tears in his eyes, to see you. He says he is not free on Saturday. Will you receive him?"
I sighed, laid down my pen, and settled myself in my chair to receive the gentleman with the cockade. Young authors, and in general everybody who is not initiated into the secrets of the profession, are generally so overcome by holy awe at the words editorial office that they make you wait a considerable time for them. After the editors show him in, they cough and blow their noses for a long time, open the door very slowly, come into the room still more slowly, and thus rob you of no little time. The gentleman with the cockade did not make me wait. The door had scarcely had time to close after André before I saw in my office a tall, broad-shouldered man holding a paper parcel in one hand and a cap with a cockade in the other. This man, who had succeeded in obtaining an interview with me, plays a very prominent part in my story. It is necessary to describe his appearance. He was, as I have already said, tall and broad-shouldered, and as vigorous as a fine cart-horse. His whole body seemed to exhale health and strength. His face was rosy, his hands large, his chest broad and muscular, and his hair as thick as a healthy boy's. He was around 40. He was dressed with taste, according to the latest fashion, in a new tweed suit, evidently having just come from the tailor's. A thick gold watch chain with little ornaments on it hung across his chest, and on his little finger a diamond ring sparkled with brilliant tiny stars. But what is most important, and so essential to the hero of a novel or story with the slightest pretension to respectability, is that he was extremely handsome. I am neither a woman nor an artist. I have but little understanding of manly beauty, but the appearance of the gentleman with the cockade made an impression on me. His large, muscular face remained forever impressed on my memory. On that face you could see a real Greek nose with a slight hook, thin lips and nice blue eyes, from which shone goodness and something else, for which it is difficult to find an appropriate name. That something can be seen in the eyes of little animals when they are sad or ill, something imploring, childish, resignedly suffering. Cunning or very clever people never have such eyes. His whole face seemed to breathe candour, a broad, simple nature, and truth. If it be not a falsehood that the face is the mirror of the soul, I could have sworn from the very first day of my acquaintance with the gentleman with the cockade that he was unable to lie. I might even have bet that he could not lie. Whether I should have lost my bet or not, the reader will see later. His chestnut hair and beard were thick and soft as silk. It is often said that soft hair is the sign of a sweet, sensitive, silken soul. Criminals and wicked, obstinate characters have in most cases coarse hair. If this be true or not, the reader will also see further on. Neither the expression of his face nor the softness of his beard was as soft and delicate in this gentleman with the cockade as the movements of his bulky form. These movements seemed to denote education, lightness, grace, and, if you will forgive the expression, something womanly. It would cause my hero but a slight effort to bend a horseshoe or to flatten out a sardine tin with his fist, yet, at the same time, not one of his movements showed his physical strength. He took hold of the door handle or of his hat, as if they were butterflies, delicately, carefully, hardly touching them with his fingers. He walked noiselessly. He pressed my hand lightly. When looking at him, you forgot that he was as strong as Goliath, and that he could lift with one hand weights that five men like our office servant André could not have moved. Looking at his light movements, it was impossible to believe that he was strong and heavy. Spencer might have called him a model of grace. When he entered my office, he became confused. His delicate, sensitive nature was probably shocked by my frowning, dissatisfied face. For God's sake.